A freelance Catholic speaker and writer, Amy Wellborn is the author of several books, including most recently Come Meet Jesus, An Invitation from Pope Benedict XVI, which hit bookstores earlier this year. She spoke with Chris Altieri, who asked her to share some of her impressions of Light of the World.
There's something for everybody in here. What jumped out at you? What was one of the things that tickled you, as it were?
There was so much to this book. Pope Benedict just does so beautifully and obviously enjoys speaking off the cuff, answering questions, being in dialogue. And the interview questions, of course, cover the gamut of everything from the Pope's personal life, actually, as Pope, to the Regensburg speech, to evangelization, to everything. And for me, all of that is fascinating. I mean, there's something on every page that's fascinating to me. But to me, really, the thing that strikes me the most about this book, and that I think I personally will return to it over and over again because of what it reveals about the Holy Father's spirituality. The Holy Father is a brilliant theologian of long standing, but to me, what's always come through, even through his theology, his theological work, is his spirituality, which is profound yet very simple. And I was really struck by his descriptions to Peter Sewald of how he felt after being elected, and his inner sense of calm despite his distress a little bit at the situation. And Peter Sewald asks him very honestly and frankly, how do you pray? How does the Pope pray? He asks. And the Holy Father sort of goes through his routine and talks about all the different ways in which he prays, which are very simple and the ways that any of us could pray. And I found that very, charming and very hopeful to me. And I was also struck particularly, as I always have been in reading Pope Benedict, by his empathy. And not just an emotional empathy, but an intellectual empathy, in that he really sees other people's points of view. He may disagree with them or call them out as wrong, but he really does see other people's point of view. He says, quite honestly and frankly, yeah, I can see how people would leave the church because of the abuse situation. He says, I can understand how people today are uncomfortable with claims to truth, with absolute truth claims, considering what's happened over the past century in terms of people declaring themselves the absolute holders of truth and so on. So I found both of those things, his very profound yet simple spirituality and his intellectual empathy that comes through in this interview very strongly.
You talked about getting a feel, as it were, for how the Pope prays. Is there anything for the people interested in how he thinks in here? Do you see his mind at work at all, or are we getting sort of the results of all of the gear grinding?
Well, I think his mind is very evidently at work here. I mean, the questions are mostly not theological. They tend to ecclesiological, political questions, and so on. But to the extent that there are theological questions related to the relationship between faith and reason, the role of the church in the world, the nature of God, and the nature of truth, you really do see that, and you see, I think, his gift for bringing these very complex questions of theology, of the role of the church in the world, of the nature of God, down to a simple form that's not simplistic. I think that there are many, many formulations within this book of sort of the core of his thinking that as he's articulated over the decades. But people sort of throw out, Ratzinger really believes in the importance of both faith and reason, and in bringing faith back into the modern world, and bringing reason, true reason, back into religious discourse again. And we throw that around, but I think one of the things in many of the answers to the questions in this book, he brings that up, and he articulates it in a way that is really helpful, I think, to anybody who's ever wondered about that. One of the things that he says in answer to a question that might bring you know, might clarify that is he says, when he's talking about evangelization, he says that the gospel has to be proclaimed both in its great enduring rationality and in its power that transcends rationality. In its great enduring rationality and its power that transcends rationality, so that it can re-enter our thinking and understanding in a new way. So that, yeah, very much I think that the inner relationship and the necessity of both those factors to inform each other are really clearly stated.
Anything that you would have liked to see that didn't come up? Is there anything that looked sort of studiously avoided, perhaps, in the way that the answers were crafted, etc.?
No, I think there's a lot of interesting bluntness on the Holy Father's part, even in areas that haven't been widely discussed yet. I think that, I really can't think of a major issue that isn't covered, of the past 5 years, that isn't covered in the book. Yeah, and I see Wald pushes him. You know, he asks some very blunt questions. And, you know, I'm thinking, for example, of the question that is asked about the SSPX and Bishop Williamson, in which the Holy Father sort of looks at that situation and the situation that exploded with the knowledge of Bishop Williamson's views on certain subjects after the rescinding of the excommunication. And the Holy Father makes this comment in which he says, well, Bishop Williamson was never really Catholic, was he? It's sort of the way he puts it. He says he went from Anglicanism to straight to Lefebvre, and he never really lived with the Pope. Which I thought was fascinating, and I thought was actually maybe one of the more incendiary things that the Holy Father said during this interview. This interview book is certainly shorter than the other ones, the other two, the previous two, and I think there were some topics that I would like to have heard the Holy Father speak more about, liturgy, about the regularization or the re-regularization of the extraordinary form of the Mass. He does touch on it. I would have liked to hear him talk more about that. I mean, although there's no lack of, discourse from Pope Benedict on this matter, but I just think it would be interesting to hear him speak about the dynamic within the Church, the resistance of some to the greater expansion of the extraordinary form and so on, and sort of why that is and so on.
It's extraordinary, actually, by no pun intended, that what this was actually a great liberalization. You know, if you want to pray this way, go ahead, knock yourself out. We're not going to force you to pray one way or the other. And we all saw the phenomenon, starting within a few months after his election, where a lot of the mainstream media, the secular press and other media, began to see the way Benedict actually is and said, well, he's changed.
Mm.
You know? No. Is this going to maybe help put that baby to bed finally?
I don't know. I mean, I think the way that human beings are, that, you know, a lot of people are pretty determined to see, they make a decision that a person is a certain way and there's really nothing that can be done to change their mind, or they constantly reinterpret new information in their own favor. I think that, if anything, perhaps what this interview book will do, it will, first of all, there's no lack of evidence as to, what Pope Benedict thinks, what Joseph Ratzinger thought. We have reams and reams and reams of material. Nobody has any excuse, who's interested in it for not even trying, not trying to understand him. But in this book, I think that we have a pretty short, pretty condensed, explanation from Pope Benedict himself of his own mind. Not, it's not complete or, anything like that. It is short, but I think the essentials are really hit here. And if people can, you know, read this with an open mind and come to an understanding of how the Holy Father can be so centered on articulating the need for renewal in the church, and you speak of this over and over and over again, but at the same time see that one of the keys for his program of bringing renewal into the church is bringing back or re-emphasizing ancient modes of Catholic spirituality and tradition, whether that be the extraordinary form of the Mass, whether that be receiving communion on the tongue, whether that be the re-emphasis on Gregorian chant, and so on, and you know, beautiful art and representational art and so on and so forth. And people can see that actually, while you know, some might see those things and goals as contradictory, in the Holy Father's mind, they're perfectly consistent. And to really dig into that and to understand why, in, you know, what the Holy Father is doing is articulating a program in which the truth of the Catholic faith brings human beings, as it always has and is supposed to do, into contact with God on a really cosmic kind of level in the context of teachings, sacrificial love, and the liturgy, and that, you know, the power of this is tapped by keeping hold of the tradition and allowing people to encounter and inviting people to encounter God through that. You know, it's articulated, I think, in a very nicely condensed way in this interview and his answers to the questions. And if people can read this and understand that, I think maybe some people who have been, you know, resistant or have said, well, he's changed, or, you know, whatever they say, can see that really he's very consistent, and his faith is in God through the church, through the body of Christ, is very consistent. He has, like all of us, he changes and develops and so on, but his basic understanding of who God is, what the church is, and what our relationship to God through the church is, have been the same through the decades. And I think, you know, it's sort of coming into this nice, really, you know, kind of profoundly simple distillation in this book.